certainly good to be back. It's good to be on the ground. It's good to be not in an airport or in a plane. So it's good to be here. But especially it's good to be here with the Lord. And I'm happy to see the beautiful new tabernacle. It's the first thing you notice when you come in here. And this is my first Mass here in this chapel with the new permanent tabernacle. So I give thanks to God for that. You're used to it already, but I'm not, and we're not. So it's a sign to us that this is the house of God. This is a place where God dwells, and that's why it's good to be here, because God is here. How good it is to be here in this sacred place with God. Of course, God is in planes too. God's in airports. But you know, when you're on the move, you sometimes lose the sense of the presence. And we need a place like this that says, okay, God is present. He is with us. We are with him. And that reminder we carry with us as we go back out into the world. So presence, Eucharist, it's a foundation of everything that we do. And then we spend time pondering the word. This gospel is one of these challenging gospels. I know we have heard this before. I think we just had this a few weeks ago. Yeah. Seems so familiar sounding. And we could say, oh yeah, I know this one. This is about, you know, not peace, but the sword, and not, you know, loving your father and mother and son and daughter. And they say, wait a minute. You can't just say, oh yeah, I know that. You can't just say, Jesus came to bring a sword. It's a deliberately provocative thing to say. And this language about loving father or mother or son or daughter more than me, is not worthy of me. This is Jesus deliberately stirring us or trying to shake us into a different way of thinking, a different way of seeing. Now, I don't know what you do with readings like this, but I think part of what I do, this my nature, is how can I do this better? You know, how can I don't have to worry about, I don't have a father or a mother anymore. I don't have any son or daughter. So, but I do have to take up my cross and follow him. And I do have to lose my life for his sake. And those are just challenging things. And so part of what I do is, well, how do I do this? And am I doing it? And how can I be more fruitful? How can I be more courageous and pure and faithful and, you know, all the things, if fruitful, how can I even give a cup of water to one of the little ones? And what am I supposed to do? And that's all right. I mean, those are good things to ask, but the danger is that we put ourselves in the middle of it all, and we lose the sense that we're not the basis for this whole thing. God is. That's why it's good to come into a chapel where God is present, and we realize we're not supposed to make God come here or make ourselves fruitful so that God will love us. That's always the wrong approach. So we can go back to what we learned yesterday, the parable of the seed and the ground. I mean, the whole idea is there are seeds just being scattered on everybody. The ground doesn't make itself worthy first. And it doesn't make the seed fall on itself. It's receptivity, it's active receptivity. That's to the word, to grace. That's what we are, that's what we do. And that changes the perspective if we're thinking about how can we deal with the sword and how can we deal with our, you know, loving father or mother more than Jesus. I mean, all our family relationships are called into question here, or our priorities. This is something that strikes me whenever I go to visit my family. It seems like a reading like this comes up. I don't know why. There's a lot of passages where Jesus says, you know, don't put your family ahead of God. This is one of them. But this also reminds us. So the seed that falls on us is not just the seeds that we want or the seeds that we think we should receive. If it was all seeds of love and peace, we would say, great, I'm just so happy to get the seeds of love and peace. But what about the sword? The word is a sword, and Jesus wields the sword with a lot of sharp power sometimes, and this gospel is one of them. He's planting the sword in us. That's part of the act of receptivity, of being good ground, is to let that sword pierce us so that we can be fruitful, so that his will can be done in us. If we only accept seeds we like and we don't accept seeds we don't like, well, we can't really be fruitful. We interfere with the plan of God. And this is what Jesus means by take up your cross and follow me, and whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, finding our life in that sense is accepting things we like and doing what we want. And that is not going to bear fruit of the kingdom. Losing our life for his sake is what is fruitful. So my day started with this bad news about my flight delay. So, well, yeah, I don't like that. I would rather that not happen. But I said just yesterday, I won't be shocked if one of these flights is canceled. Well, it's not canceled, but it's delayed, so I missed the connection. So another few extra hours in Chicago or whatever. And in fact, when I was dealing with the agent by text this morning, she said, well, she can put me on a later flight. I said, am I going to get stranded in Chicago all night? I put that in my text. And she said, well, there is another flight you can take. So she's trying to make me a happy customer. But I'm expressing my discontent or fear. I don't want to get stuck. Well, what if that's God's will? What if that's God's will? Well, then who am I to say I don't want that seed? I don't want that sword. And that's how we are. So that's why it's important to step back and say, well, yeah, it's okay to want this or that, but that can't be the top priority. God's will has to be the top priority. And God does things in ways that we don't understand and sometimes don't like. This first reading is a great example of it. This reading now, the book of Exodus, there's no mention of what God is doing, at least in the direct sense, and there's no mention of what the Israelites are doing. It's the Pharaoh, it's the Egyptians, and it's all oppression, and it's all being put on the people of God. That's just the way it is. Like, sure, they didn't like it, but God allowed that to happen. Now, whether it was because of their unfaithfulness or whether it was simply because God was humbling them, how do we know? How do we know what that sword was cutting away and what it was opening, what opportunity was opening? But God was allowing his own people to be oppressed, really cruelly oppressed, the whole cruel fate of slaves. Now we know what happens. It even says it right here. The more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. Well, that maybe is what God had in mind in the first place. He wants his people to multiply and spread. And they don't do it if they're attached to their own will and if they are just choosing their own seeds. They have to be experiencing some kind of dependence on him so that they cry out to him, so that he will do something great for them and they'll welcome it. So when they get to this stage, they're saying, Lord, save us, Lord, save us. And then he says, okay, now I hear them crying out to me. We'll hear this in the next couple of days. And now they're crying out to me. Now I can do something for them. I'm gonna bring them into the promised land. But before, they were living in Egypt and they were having it great. And they probably would not have gone back to the promised land if everything was great in Egypt all the time. So it's just a way of reflecting on this experience of the sword, or this experience of seeds that we don't like. Well, God is still at work, and our decision in faith always has to be, your will be done. And perhaps that's enough, because that opens the possibility for whatever God wants. And it puts us back in our place of active receptivity. We're soil. We're soil. We just accept, and no, if God wants to plant a mango tree in you, well, then accept it. If he wants to plant a corn, or, you know, there's lots of different plants, and there's lots of different fruits, and there's lots of different ways God works, and soil doesn't make that decision. God makes that decision. So That's it. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. He made heaven and earth. That's why, and we didn't make heaven and earth, and our help is not in our own name. So we trust in the name of the Lord. We welcome his will. Even when we don't like it, we still say, your will be done. So I'm saying that with a little bit of trembling because I don't know what my flight, I might end up in Chicago after all. But anyway, God's will be done. And we entrust ourselves, you know, our families, our community, our world to him. That's the best way to go.